do. I have one that's called The Boys at the Bar that I'm finishing up. It's a comedy. And that should be out in 4 months. In Salt Lake and St. Louis. See if it opens anywhere else.
Have you ever done a comedy?
I did. My very first movie was a comedy, actually. It was called Girl Crazy, and it was a very low-budget comedy that I made about, well, how long ago was that? Almost 20 years ago now.
Oh.
Sold to HBO and Cinemax. And that was my very first movie. See, most people think God's Army was my first movie, but it was actually my second.
There are a lot of us who worship God's Army.
Would God's Army be the most popular one that you put out there?
Well, it's kind of hard to gauge. It made the most money, but Brigham City was shown, it was more something that was more approachable for non-Mormon audiences, so it played all through Latin America and Europe and Israel and Israel deal. So as far as the movie most people have seen, or more people have seen, it would probably be Brigham City. Falling didn't do very well, but it's not done yet. That's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray in about 4 months.
And was it autobiographical?
Largely autobiographical. And it was never meant to make a lot of money. I don't think people go see those kind of movies very often. But it's the film that I'm most proud of. Did you see it when we showed it?
No, I was afraid to.
You're afraid to?
Mm-hmm.
It's an intense one. But it's the film I'm most proud of. And probably the hardest film to make.
The Mormon film community misses. There's nobody there to take over.
Well, that's why I'm coming back.
You're coming back?
I'm making a movie that's going to be kind of like Falling, except it's a female perspective, so it's an updating of the book, the classic novel, The Awakening. I don't know if you're familiar with The Awakening.
But it was a lesbian?
No, she was not a lesbian, but a mother, and it was published about 1900, and it was about an East Coast woman who's trying to be more than just a woman and more than just a mother and a wife, and how her husband and the people around her are just basically not going to allow her to be anything else. And so I'm taking that and I'm bringing it into a modern Mormon context. And so she's a 30-year-old woman who's awakening. She's becoming, finding out who she is. And, she's not the 18-year-old girl who married the return missionary anymore. She's got her own hopes and dreams, and it's going to be a great, great movie. But I agree with you. I agree. I mean, there's some nice work, some work being done that's okay. But there's that movie, what was it called? Saratov Approach. Did you hear of that one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's fairly well done.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's a wasteland. So I want to come back and wake things up a little bit.
Good.
Well, I don't know who's supposed to be here to start this. I'll start talking to you for a little while, but I'm wondering if we ought to send somebody to the table and find out.
Will
you go down? Yeah, go. Just make sure. We'll hold. We'll make sure they don't start. If somebody shows up, we'll make sure it doesn't start at the.
Okay.
Well, I have no idea how to start that projector, so I hope somebody's
be. Be somebody from the university or somebody from Sunstone would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I presented yesterday and the same thing happened. Like nobody showed up.
Really?
To start. So I got my own computer out, plugged the projector in, did everything myself.
That's not a good sign.
Not at all.
Well, the one thing we know, at least there's no shortage of the DVDs.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I don't want to. She seemed really interested, so I'll say a few words before we start. And then afterwards, I'll come back and.
Are we going to actually see the movie?
Yes!
Maybe have other people seen it or something?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people see
that's
it.
Why.
I wish we were here to start it, but we're not. We're just here to enjoy it.
Okay, fine, sit down.
Somebody's looking for someone to start it.
Yeah.
I guess in the middle will be probably the best people. We came from China just to hear that. We arrived 6 hours ago. So.
Oh, excellent.
Happy to be here.
Well, I hope the jet lag isn't too severe.
Yeah.
I want to keep you awake.
You've been in China?
Living there for a year.
Beijing. And we have a son in Beijing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Doing what?
He
works in media advertising.
Yeah.
For who? Well, it's actually a global company. It's, what is it, Group Band?
Well, Group Band has his division, but I think it's a bigger company than that.
No.
But he's been there for about 15 years.
Wow. Jealous. Well, my wife is teaching at Redmond University Law School. She's a professor of lawyer. One year she's teaching there while our kids were attending Chinese schools.
You actually went to a Chinese school?
High school, yeah. Well, where were you living in? The Haigian District, which is where most of the universities are, on campus at Redmond University.
Which circle? I know by circle.
Third
in between fourth and third grade.
Oh,
in
okay.
The northeast
part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Craig's right by the Forbidden City.
Well, let's get started. I'll tell you a little bit about the film while we're waiting for it to start. I won't tell you anything that will spoil it, of course, but if you guys, if none of you seen the, you've seen it before. How this came about was, I'm generally against sequels, but I have this thing when I drive is one of my best times to think and come up with stories, so if I need a story, I just get in my car and drive. And when I was moving to Utah, and I was coming in order to start the distribution and the release of God's Army, so I was coming from Los Angeles to Utah. Did we get somebody?
They apologized and they said they're on their way.
Okay. And so just in the U-Haul as I was driving along, I thought, well, I'm not going to do a sequel because I don't like sequels, but if I ever had to do a sequel for God's Army, what would it be? And the criteria for me was, you know, most sequels always have a reputation for being less than the original. I said, this one, you know, if I ever did one, it would have to be better than the original film. And so as I drove, I just started to think, and I started to get some ideas, and as I stopped and we got to our house, and the whole time I was unloading, and then after the elders and people had left after helping us move in, I sat down on the stairs and I told my wife, I said, all right, listen to this idea. It's like I said, if God's Army does well, and I know it's going to do well, but here's what I would want to do as a sequel. And so I told her the story, and there's one particular story point in here that you'll see that I told her, and she's like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. And that's when I knew that I had to do it, because it was a good story. And so then, of course, God's Army did well, as most of you probably remember or have heard about. And I made another movie called Brigham City, and then something started to happen. And I was trying to make a movie about Joseph Smith, a life story of Joseph Smith, and that took about 3 years out of my life and all of my money. It didn't work out. And while I was working on that, a bunch of other Mormon filmmakers came in and started making movies and really hurt the market that we had created. You know, we started off with some good quality films. There's another filmmaker came with Other Side of Heaven, and the first few films were fairly high quality, and then after that everything just tanked, and the market was dying, and by the time I got back to thinking it was time to make another movie, it was really hard to bring in any money to make it because the audiences weren't going anymore. And so I just kind of lucked out on this movie because Larry Miller, I don't know if you guys know who he is, he was a wealthy, he used to own the Utah Jazz, he's passed away now, but he was one of my investors on Brigham City, and then he said something in a newspaper interview that maligned me, and I got really angry, and so I called him on the phone, and I said, that's not true, how can you say that, and, you know. And he felt so bad, he said, well, I feel really bad because you're right. I went back and looked, and you're absolutely right. And I shouldn't have said that. And so, what can I do for you? And he goes, I hear you're trying to make a sequel to God's Army. And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, how much do you need to finish that? And I said, well, I need about $500,000. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And so he came on. And so this movie came about as his apology for saying something naughty about me in the press, which I figure if that's the result, everybody can say whatever they want. You know, as long as I can keep making movies. But he just left.
I think he just left.
Projection.
Oh, okay. But that's how the movie came about, and afterwards I'll come back and answer some questions for you, but I don't want to give anything away. But this movie was interesting in the sense that often in my films, sometimes I'll act in a supporting part or something, and in this one I couldn't because in the original movie I had died. And so, unless I wanted to come back as Obi-Wan Kenobi and, you know, glow and float in the air, but I didn't want to do that.
You were in the original?
In the original God's Army, yeah. I was a missionary that died of cancer, so I was very skinny back then.
This movie, how long is it, Richard?
It's, I think it's 2 hours.
Okay, we got to leave before this.
But,
what's the rating?
Rating was PG-13.
Oh, I've got to leave too. Just kiss.
That rating turned you away. actually, that's something that's kind of a funny story. I always fight with the MPAA about my ratings. They always want to. They always, like with the original God's Army, they wanted it to, I thought it would be G, because I thought, what can you know, there's nothing in it. And they wanted to make it PG-13, so we eventually negotiated on a PG rating. And with this one, they wanted to do an R, and so, well, I'll tell you a secret. there was a scene with a little bit of blood in this movie. And I had already cut it exactly the way that I wanted it, that I knew it wouldn't be, I thought it would be just, you know, it would be PG-13. And the MPAA looked at it and they said, no, that's a little too bloody, it's going to be R, so we want you to go back and take some frames out of it. And I said, all right, I'll go back and I'll take some frames out. So I took it, I didn't do anything to it, but I sent it back to them. I said, okay, what do you think now? You know? And then they looked at it and they said, okay, that's much better. So it's exactly the same, but...
This is what we're watching, right?
That's what we're watching, yep.
They had some at the desk. Imagine that.
Yeah, I'm sure all of you guys have one in your, like, purses and stuff, right?
Yeah. What is it? It's this one
right
here,
Yes, if you don't have your free copy, pick one up before you leave.
We got the one, God's Army, but not
I hear the director is really nice, and he might even sign your copy if we can track him down.
Oh, States of Grace is God's Army, too?
Yes.
Oh, they're the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a sequel.
It is a sequel, and I did what I made myself do. I think it's better than the original.
Right.
I really do, and I think most people would agree. Well, sorry about that.
Looking for the lights?
Yeah.
I thought they were to the left on the wall, towards the door, to your left.
To my left.
Yeah, so near the exit sign, there's a little panel. I thought he touched that panel.
Oh, did he? All right. There we go. Whoa! That is bright. Try this. Oh well, that's the best we can do. Well, great.
Richard, I love this.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
That thing puts me on the floor every time.
Well, I'm a little weepy, too, because I was back there for the last 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, me, too.
You had an actor whose name was Fatal Instinct?
Yeah.
Did he just put that as his name, or...?
That was his name. That was his...
Yeah. What role was he?
He was the guy that... The black guy that died in the beginning. Gunfight. So... Well, great.
Will there be another one?
What's that?
Will there be another one?
You know, I don't think there'll ever be a God's Army 3, which is unfortunate because I have a great story for it, but
yeah.
I don't have a market for it, so... Because I'd love to do it. But anyway, we don't have a lot of time because we got started late, but we've got about 10 minutes, so what questions do you have for me?
Do missionaries really get sent home to fornication?
Oh, yeah.
Except they don't get to hold the girlfriend's arm at the
Where your companions are.
He wouldn't have his garments on still during that.
So how was it received among Mormons and non-Mormons? You know, so you portrayed a very, I would say, ecumenical portrayal of grace. There wasn't an exclusive element in the teaching.
Yeah.
So I could see it being palatable to non-Mormons, was it?
Oh, yeah. There was actually, we had a kind of a tragic situation with this film, which was both the Mormon and the non... The Mormon audiences didn't want to see it because somehow the word God's Army had become synonymous with crappy Mormon films, and so,
which is really weird.
Yeah, you know what? This and then let me go back to that. But then also, we had screenings for ministers of other faiths, and we just had to drag. And I did it in Vegas, and I did it in L.A., and I did it here, and we had to drag these people in, and they would love the film. I mean, absolutely love it. Pentecostals, Baptists, Catholics. Afterwards, they would. We videotaped interviews with them, and they loved it. And then they went out to tell their friends to come see it, and they didn't want to go see it because it was about Mormons. You know? So the non-Mormons didn't want to see it because it was about Mormons. The Mormons didn't want to see it because it was about Mormons. And no, but I ran into that when I was trying so hard to push this film, and it just wasn't working. And it had been out, it had been open in theaters in Utah for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and it just wasn't working. And no matter how much advertising I put into it. And so I went to, I was coming at the Salt Lake Library one day, and I ran into Robert Kirby. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's a columnist for the Tribune, right? And he had loved my earlier films, both God's Army and Brigham City, and he'd written about both of them. And so he'd kind of become a bit of a friend of mine because, you know, we talked about the films and he loved them so much. And I bumped into him at the library, and I asked him if he'd seen this one yet. And he said no, and I asked him why. And he goes, you know what? He goes, that's a good question. And he goes, honestly, even though I'd seen your other films and I really loved them, I thought it's just another crappy Mormon movie. And then that's when I realized that it was a battle that I couldn't fight. And I just couldn't fight it. Like, I couldn't change perception.
Did you do a column about it? He didn't agree to do a column about it?
He may have, actually. I don't remember now. He probably did write about the film, but this film was it's kind of a sad film for me because I love it. I absolutely love it, and it's got a lot of my heart and soul in it, but I just couldn't get people to watch it, to see it.
And if I recall, Richard, the great irony of this was your film motivated a lot of others to make films. They made so many crappy films that by the time Chase of Grace came out, everybody was played out on one of the movies.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
A real shame, because this was the best ever.
Yeah.
You said before the showing, so many people weren't here, that you had spent 3 years of your life thinking about a Joseph Smith film that didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
What was your concept for doing that briefly?
It was just a full biography of him.
So 2 hours.
It was a Gandhi treatment of Joseph Smith, except a lot more blood and violence, and a lot more exciting than Gandhi was. And that was, I mean, there's a whole story behind that.
And sex, of course. Blood, violence, and sex. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, the financing got pulled.
Yeah, just the church church leaders didn't want it made, so they made sure that it didn't happen.
So they cleaned up.
Yeah, and I still love
the
way that.
Script, or they just hear it for a while?
Oh, that's a whole story. Going to Mormon
stories. Yeah, we did a 5-hour interview.
Him and I.
You interviewed him.
Yeah,
so
there's a whole
stories, video as well as audio.
There's a whole cloak and dagger, shameful behavior by Russell Ballard and some others. So you can hear about Mormon stories. But I still want to make it. That's still something that's probably the most common question I get is, what's going on with that Joseph Smith movie? And
well, so with this movie, it seems like you have an interest in exploring the metaphor of the atonement of grace. What would your motive be? Why do you want to tell the Joseph Smith story? Is it because it's just such an interesting story? Is there some religious element that still moves you that you're interested in?
Yeah, well, to me, I mean, the Joseph Smith story was a fundamental story of my youth. His story informed my youth and my own story for myself, if that makes sense. I think that's common with males, especially. How many 14-year-old boys go out and pray in the woods? I did. You know, I didn't have quite the dramatic experience.
Yeah, they told that he didn't come.
But no, I mean, yeah, there's. I mean, that story, of course, is filled with, it's filled with everything. So, religious themes, not the ones you would expect, I would think. But it's really a special thing. It's unfinished business for me, so.
Just $100. How much you need?
Well, I have 12 million more.
Oh, okay. So I've got 1, 2.
Yes.
Technical question. Did the missionary who tried suicide disembowel himself?
Did he disembowel himself? No. No, wrists.
Just wrists and so much blood?
That's wrists. Yeah, that was one thing when I mentioned earlier. They wanted cuts in that scene, the blood all over the place, and then they wanted cuts when the dead guy lying on the ground with a pool of blood around his head. Those were the things that I cut cut back.
The black actor, the converter, was so convincing.
Yeah, that's something that I spend a lot of time auditioning actors when I do a film like this, because the performances are everything. If you don't have good actors, you're sunk. And most, I mean, that's been an interesting thing when I first started. Making films that had LDS themes, I remember that was one of the most common questions I would get, was which actors are Mormon, which ones aren't. And I kept trying to explain to people, it's like, well, almost none of them are Mormon, they're just, you know, they're, because I would bring real Mormon actors in to play missionaries, and they couldn't do it. You know, they had this thing in their head about what a missionary is, because they'd seen all these church movies all their lives, and so they couldn't even play themselves. And so I would just have to find just great, great young actors that didn't know anything about. And it was interesting. And sometimes I would have these guys come in, they'd be good, and I would kind of explain what a missionary is. And they would begin to do this thing where they got a little more proper. And I'd say, no. It's still you. And it's still just you. And you're just doing this thing.
Yeah, so both Lozano and Farrell are not.
No.
They are Mormons, or?
No. Nope, they're not Mormons.
Do you have any Mormons in the film?
I think the only Mormon in this, the mission president is Mormon.
He looks
Really? You think so?
did you audition BYU theater students?
I did. They were the first place I went for God's. I didn't do it for this, because I was like, hell with it.
I was going to ask, there seems to be a type of acting that they learn somehow that just doesn't work, just doesn't sit real. It's like a.
Yeah. No, when I was doing the original God's Army, that's the first place I went for auditions. Was like, I'm going to find everybody at BYU. And I found one guy from God's Army at BYU, and that was the guy that played the cripple, the Polynesian kid.
Oh,
Benny.
Yeah.
Benny, he was the only BYU student.
When you saw Book of Mormon, the musical,
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you haven't seen it?
No.
Okay, because I was going to ask, did you look at that and think, oh, that's kind of like States of Grace set back there?
Yeah, I think I should know a little bit of rock. No. Well, great. I'm glad you guys came. And even though you had your free copies, you came and sat and watched it.
Thanks,
I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
We watched the river over there.
I'm actually going to buy a couple more copies to take back to give to non-Mormon friends.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that's the good thing is, even though technically the film would be called a financial failure, which is why there won't be a Gods Army 3, because of DVD and because of this wonderful internet age that we live in, you know, the film's going to reach and touch a lot of people, and even though it doesn't mean dollars, more importantly, it did its job, you know? It's going to touch some lives.
Is there really that much of a resistance to movies about Mormons?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I can recommend one more that came out after Grace of Grace, it's Return to Long quite a bit. Tracy Garner had some really nice movie, but it lasted a week.
Nobody won?
Yeah.
And it went up against Phantom Menace, too. But, you know, Richard, I wonder if you would comment a little bit on Deseret Books' business practices on marketing your movie. Because
Deseret Books went over business. I mean, we got to wrap this up. They got the church. They don't have to. They're not a regular company that has to make a profit. You know, the church can just cover their losses year after year after year. Actually, they've been making a profit out here for a little while now.
But didn't they make money on God's Army?
Oh, they made a ton of money on God's Army. Yeah. And then the day that I left the church, they took it off their shelves.
Oh, my goodness. Of course.
Yeah, they don't sell my movies anymore. But, yes, ma'am.
Last question. Where are you with the Mormon Church?
I left the church 7 years ago.
But you said you were coming back to do a Mormon.
Yeah. Well, as I was interviewed today, and it was an interesting question. The guy said, do you like it when people call you Mormon or whatever? And I tried to explain. It's like people ask me if I'm Mormon. I say, well, I used to be. And yet, anybody who has been as Mormon as I was for so long, you're always going to be Mormon to some extent, you know? And so it's always going to be a part of me. And but when people, what comes along, you know, what most people think of as Mormon, you know, I can't say that that's me. So it's a tricky question. And no, I'm still passionate about it. It still comes out in my writing. It's like, for whatever reason, it's a subject that just lights my inspiration. And my next film is going to be a story about a LDS wife and mother. I think I mentioned it earlier. I did in the panel. It's an updating and a Mormonizing of The Awakening, which is a book by a feminist author from 1900. And it's shocking that you can take a book from 1900 and put it in a present-day Mormon context, and it works. There's so much that's still the same for women. You know, it's sad. It's interesting.
When is that going to come out?
As soon as I can get it made, get it out there. So I am returning to it, but it'll be different. But oh my gosh, what do you see? The ending is just going to. I love endings that just leave you.
I can't wait for Falling. Is Falling for sale on DVD?
It will be in 120 days.
I've been waiting for years.
Thank you.
You too.
I really do love this movie. It's one of my favorites.
Well,
there's not one to give away.
We tried to go see it, and they pulled it out of the theater down in Payson because they were very far. And then we had to drive up to Provo to see it. And when it was over, we were kind of going through the process of leaving the church. It was a really beautiful experience. And we just sat there in the dark, and the press went, and I just remember, but thank you. It was so powerful, and it meant a lot.
Thanks for working on two or three writing projects.
And I was watching it tonight, and I thought, I'll show my kids this, because they don't get our mission. So I'm like, I just don't, they got so many, like, church thing, you know? And I'm like, well,
thank you for involving that.
So thank you. We were part of the music this morning. We did a Utah folk song.